Can everybody hear me? A little loud? No, I just, you know, I this is kind of the things that happen. When we got back from Israel, we kept the girls, Clara and Charlotte. And when Charlotte left yesterday, she had a pretty high fever. And they basically took her to the ER this morning. I don't know medical terms. My daughter-in-laws are talking back and forth, so I don't know what's going on. But I'd like to stop, if you don't mind, and just have a quick prayer for Charlotte. I don't know what's going on. I do know that Carly, my doctor daughter-in-law, says the last comment was, glad she's getting what she needs and will be taken care of. So whatever's going on, I hope it works out. So, and as you're going to find out from my message today, I want to have peace in this. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your presence with Charlotte, Nate, and Becca as they are going through this stuff in the ER and what they've decided to do. And I just pray you guide and direct the doctors and the nurses and care for her. And I gather the IVs they're going to be giving her. And so, Lord, I just pray your presence with us all today in that. And guard our hearts and minds and give us your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. All right, I'm back. I don't know if that's a good thing yet or not, but I'm back. We had a great time. As I said, Patty and I are probably down the road going to, in a couple weeks, going to put together a slide presentation on PowerPoint and some pictures and some stories. And I want her to share her testimony. God's done some amazing things in her life this week and some things in my life. And I'm going to share that today, parts of that today. There's a lot more to it. But I want to share this today. You notice the scripture today that I have kind of have built my foundation on, is Jesus saying in John, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you to you as the world gives," because that peace can be taken away as the world gives. But Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid." And that's the kind of foundation. You know, last time I preached here, I told you there were some things I was looking for when I went to Israel. Some people have asked me if I found them. Yes. Didn't quite come in the way that I thought it would, the way that I hoped it would, but I did find what I needed, and I want to share a little bit of that with you this morning. After I preached that sermon, I still had a week here, you know, before we left on Saturday, and I was driving the bus. I've been doing some stuff around town. And I started praying when I had a quiet moment. I prayed and I said, "Lord," I said, I don't want to just go over there trying to figure out what it is that I'm supposed to. You can go ahead and flip it, the first slide. I don't want to figure out what it is I'm supposed to do. And it's like, how many of you know, like the microphone here? You know, I thought it was up here and I was looking for it up here and Kim had it someplace else. You know, I don't want to go over to Israel and looking for something and not really know exactly what I'm looking for. So the Lord began to work some things out on this. My name, and I've been kind of, I don't know, maybe I'm kind of weird on this, but I was sitting on the porch one time worrying about some stuff, and the Lord just very simply said, "Be your name." And my name, Jeffrey, means peace. Okay? My name, Jeffrey, means peace. So I started thinking about that. The Lord kind of brought that to my mind, and I started thinking, peace. And I'll wait a minute now, and I started, and the city of Jerusalem is literally the city of peace, right? That's the name of the city of Jerusalem. And then I thought, but wait a minute. When Jacob wrestled with God to get a blessing, God changed his name to Israel because Israel means wrestling, to contend with. And so I thought, okay, I don't know why my mind's going this way. I'm just thinking this. And then I started thinking about, I was reading a psalm and it said something about the Lord dwelling in Zion. And I thought, you know, Zion is a place, I mean, it's actually a place where we walked in Mount Zion. It's around David's fortress and that area. There's the Zion gate that goes there. And so there's the Mount Zion, but Zion is only Zion, according to Psalms, when God dwells in it. Okay, so I started thinking. And this is what I'm looking for. I want peace in the midst of my wrestling. And the only time I can know that peace in the midst of my wrestling is when I realize that God is in the place. God is in this. Okay? And so that's the. So I went over there, and I'm thinking, okay, here's what I want. I want that inner peace that can come in the midst of the wrestling, and it comes because I know that God is there with me in it. Right? Right. So I thought, good. Now I know what I'm looking for. So we got in the plane, and we took off from Tulsa last Saturday afternoon, or two Saturdays ago. We took off. We get to Chicago. Most of you may have heard this. I'm going to give a little detail about it. We get to Chicago. Everything's fine. We go to the gate we're supposed to go. Our plane is sitting right there. The plane we're supposed to get onto to go to New York to catch a plane to take us to Tel Aviv. It's sitting right there at our gate. We're sitting there watching it. We're looking at it. We're excited. We're happy. We're going to make it on time. Everything's going to be great. Patty goes to the bathroom to brush her teeth. I get a text, your flight to JFK has been canceled. I text her and I say, get out of the bathroom right now. We got a problem. So we went to the counter, the assistant counter, which was just a few gates down, and got in line because I guess I was the late one getting the text. There were already people there, or the email, or whatever it was. And so we get in line and we work our way around. The problem is that they can take us to a flight that will go tonight to Tel Aviv. Make our tour in time, no problem. The problem is it's spring break. There's a flight leaving Miami. There's a flight leaving Dallas. But I can't get to either of those places in time to fly out. So we have to stay in Chicago for 2 days, or basically two nights. A night, a day, and a night. But then here's the issue. Is most of you know that your COVID test only lasts so long, right? The 2 days we're there puts it past that. So we have to get a PCR test to be able to make it to Israel. All right? That's the problem we're having. It's Sunday. PCR tests take 2 days unless they're a rapid test. We can't find a place. So I text my son, Ben, and he's a computer whiz, and he gets on and he finds us a place at the airport to get rapid PCR COVID tests so we can make our flight early the next morning, Monday morning, right? We're all good, right? Then we find out it's $225 a piece to do that. So we'd have to do it. That's the only way we could do it. So we go over there and we get all lined up. Not only do we get our COVID tests, which both came back negative an hour and a half later, But I have to, you have to, when you go to Israel, you have to apply for a travel acceptance thing. So I had to reapply because it's only good for 2 days. So I had to reapply, which they approved, as you would know, because we went and came back. And it was just like everything happened. Just boom, boom, boom. It's like, oh. And so we're sitting in the hotel room on Saturday night trying to figure out, are we going to go to Israel or are we going to go home? Ben tells me, he's a world traveler. Ben says, you know what? Flights are going to cost you if you go home. If you try to alter your flight, they'll pay for it. But if you just say, no, we're not going to do that, we're going home, it will cost you. We talked to the people who were leading our tour. They said, you've got a couple options. Here's one option. You can either go and spend an extra week in Israel and go on the second tour they're taking. You can go home and not come back. I kind of hope they would reimburse us for some of our expenses. Or you can just come a day and a half late, which is what we decided to do. So we fly out Monday morning to Newark, catch our plane to Tel Aviv. We come in. We haven't slept in a lot of hours. Okay? And so we come into Tel Aviv. The taxi driver picks us up at the airport, decides to take us. Oh, we have to have our COVID test at the airport too. Okay, which that was an ordeal. I'll just say this because it was supposed to come back like in 8 hours. Patty's test came back negative. My test did not come back for 14 hours. It was negative, but I sweat for like 7 hours. I couldn't sleep because it was overnight. Anyway, The taxi driver picked us up. The tour people said, just meet us at Nazareth. So we're driving through the streets of Nazareth. And let me tell you something. It's crazy over there. I mean, honking horns and now don't worry. I'm not just telling you details. I'm telling you this for a reason. I'm setting the foundation to get to what I want to preach about this morning, okay? So we finally drive up, and as we're driving through the streets, I look up, and there's our group. I can see two or three people I know in there, and there's the tour guide. So we drive up, roll down the window, and I say, "Hey, Perry!" And she goes, we get out, we join the tour. Everything's great. Only problem is, Patty's luggage is not with us. So we get to the hotel that night. She's got some very important things she needs that we didn't put in her overnight bag, the carry-on. Got her luggage, so we're there, and I'm having some issues. I wanted this thing to go through. Now some of you are thinking what I didn't think. Jeff, you want to find peace in the wrestling. Some of you are getting it now. Without wrestling, you can't find peace in the wrestling. I had a bad night Tuesday night. I doubted things. I mean, you know, I thought I had heard God say certain things, and I was really struggling with that. And Patty and I prayed together a lot, and it's like we talked a lot. I'm feeling, did I actually hear God? Is it me, or is that me? You know, all this. Anybody ever been through that kind of stuff? You know. So we're sitting in Tiberias in a hotel, wondering if we should have come. And it's like things were happening, but I couldn't see them because I was dealing with the wrestling. Okay, I've left my notes, so hopefully I don't know exactly. Kim, what's the next slide? Okay. Let's see, where am I? But, and I'm going to cut to the chase. At each point, God did something to provide for us. At each point. We stood in line to try to find a new flight. The guy that stood in front of us was about as mad and angry as I've ever seen. We both talked about it, and we said, we're going to be nice to this lady. So we were nice to this lady, and she helped us out a lot. Booked some flights. Everything was fine. Okay? We didn't know exactly what we were doing or where we were going, so we kept praying, Lord, bring somebody along to help. Not somebody that comes along and says, you should know what you're doing. You need to just figure it out yourself. We want somebody to go, we understand. Here's how you do it. And God did that every time. When we had the COVID test and we had to pay for it, Patty's Sunday school class took up an offering and paid for the COVID test. We were going to be baptized in the Jordan. Patty's bathing suit was not in her carry-on. It was in her check bag. And I can tell you what, she wasn't going to get baptized naked. All right? So we're like, okay. She said she couldn't be baptized, so I was like, well, if you're not going to be, I'm not going to be. We went down to breakfast the next morning, and a lady we didn't even know handed Patty a bag that had a swimsuit in it. Not her size, but it was not too big. Okay? I mean, we could see everything. It was like I couldn't always see it, but I realized that God is faithful. When we reapplied for the travel authorization that had expired, the COVID tests, everything, people to talk to, God had provided each and every step of the way with everything. You know, I mean, I wish I could have seen it at the time because I might have experienced peace in the midst of the wrestling. But I'm human. You know, anybody ever do that? You focus on the wrestling? And you can't experience the peace? Oh, Lord. I'm trying to figure out where I'm at. So, and I'll tell you this. I don't believe that God closed the airport. I don't believe God closed the airport JFK just to teach us a lesson. I don't believe this stuff happened just to teach us a lesson. But I think He provided for us. He said, let's take all this stuff, the bad and the good, and let's work it together for good. And I did experience that. And I realized that God is faithful. God will take care of that. God will do that. No matter what we walk through, God will in some way provide if we're looking for it. Maybe not in the way we think or the way we want, but He will take care of it because He is faithful. Amen? Sea of Galilee. And all these pictures are my pictures. It's not things I got off Google. Okay? I was right there behind that fence to take. And I'll tell you, you'll see this when we have our slide, our picture presentation. Jesus spent most of his time, go ahead with the next slide. Jesus spent most of his time around the Sea of Galilee. Most of the ministry of Jesus happened around the Sea of Galilee. On the sea or on the shore. We went to almost every place, the Mount of Beatitudes at the very top. You know, and one thing you need to understand is when something happened that they know that it happened there, they usually built a chapel or some way to remember that. So we went to the Mount of Beatitudes, and the Mount of Beatitudes is just a few, maybe a three-fourths of a mile straight up the hill above Capernaum, where it was Jesus' place of his second home, Peter's mother-in-law's house, and we saw the synagogue that he taught in. We walked through it. I mean, it's all real close together there, and there's a different, and you remember Mary Magdala? She came from Magdala? You know, we've been there. Something special happened there I'm going to tell you about. But all of these places, this is Jesus' ministry. Mount Arbel is the place. You remember the scripture said when Jesus went to the mountain? It was Mount Arbel. They also believe that's where Jesus ascended from. Okay, up above. I've got pictures. I'll just show you that. Excuse me. Now I need to get to my sermon. I need to just not tell you this stuff. So, when we get to the Sea of Galilee, it's a beautiful place as you saw the picture. But there's something. Jesus walked on the water. Jesus told the fishermen when they were in the boat, cast your nets on the other side, and they caught a bunch. You remember that story? Jesus walked on the water there. Jesus talked to Peter after his resurrection. Jesus, this is Capernaum, was where he hung out. So there was a lot of places that we walked through or we were at that Jesus' feet were there. Somebody asked me, Jeff, did you feel the Holy Spirit? The most place I felt the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, was at Sea of Galilee and on the southern steps, the southern stairs. Because from Bethany, that's the main gate he would come in. And stones from that day are still there. We literally were walking on the same stones that Jesus walked on, which that's got to touch your heart. But anyway, let me get to my message. Take your Bible and turn to John 21. John 21. Oh, boy, I tell you, I'm going to try to get this done pretty quick. Okay. At John 21, Jesus is saying, it's the passage to be before the passage that was read this morning. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish. Have you?" And they answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat." All right. Now I want you to see the similarities here. And I'm not going to take the time to read it, but if you will write this down, Luke chapter 5, verse 3 through 7 is the story where Jesus is teaching from the boat. He asked them, he says, "Have you caught any fish?" And he says, they said, "No, we fished all night, haven't caught anything." He said, "Well, then push out, let's go out into the deep, cast your nets over that side, and you'll catch a bunch of fish." The fishermen are like, "No way. Ain't going to happen." So there's a similar thing. Go ahead to the next one, Kim. There's a similar thing that's happening here. Peter's told, go to the next one. That's Sea of Galilee too, by the way. So the story that's happening in John 21 is also happening in Luke 5, 3 through 7, where he's doing what I've talked about. Simon said, "You know, hey, look, Master, we've worked all night, but we are just..." He's in a nice way saying, "You're a carpenter," which, by the way, may have meant a stone master, but we'll talk about that later. "You're a carpenter. You don't know nothing about fishing. I know there ain't going to be, in the heat of the day, out in the deep, you're not going to be able to buy nets, cast out, and catch fish. Ain't going to happen. But since you say, we'll go do it. I'm going to prove you wrong, Jesus." Okay? That's Jeff reading into it, but they go out. And the reason I say that is because of his response. So they go out, they cast their nets, they catch a bunch of fish where their nets begin to break. Go ahead, next slide. And Peter sees this, and he says, "Go away from me, for I'm a sinful man." And then notice what Jesus says. This is back in Luke 5. "For all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish and they had taken, and there was also James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people,'" or you will be catching humanity. Jesus, from this point, and this is what I want you to see, Jesus from this point has told Peter he's going to be catching people, not fish. His new job is going to be evangelism. His new job as a follower of Jesus is going to be kind of like the keys of the kingdom will be given to him. That's his new job. That's what he's supposed to do. So in the midst of him saying, "Depart from me, I am wicked human," Jesus says, "No, you're not. You're going to be doing this." All right, you see what's happening here. This is very similar. Go ahead, Kim, to the next one. Very similar to what's happening in John 20. Anybody happen to know the rest of the story for this? Peter took this pretty strongly, to the point that when Jesus starts talking about going to Jerusalem and giving up his life for us, what's Peter say? You see that up there? I made it dark so you could see it. "No, I will lay my life down for you, Jesus. Don't you think I won't? I will." Go to the next one. But the woman at the... And by the way, there's something you got to see here. You got to see this. You see what I highlighted here? Jesus is in trial, the mock trial, the condemnation. He's about to go to the cross. Peter's followed him in town. And guess where he stands? Warming himself. See that? Anybody see that? Charcoal fire. Charcoal fire is only mentioned two times in Scripture. Here and another place. Okay? We'll see that place in just a second. Because it was cold, he's standing there, long story short, everybody comes and says, "Hey, you were with Jesus." "No, I wasn't. No, I wasn't. No, I wasn't." Three times he denied Jesus. "So I will lay my life down for you." How did he do? Not too good. Have you ever kind of set your mind and heart on doing something and being something, and then when you get there, it's just you don't do as good as you thought you would? That's what was going through my mind. I wanted peace in the midst of the wrestling. I wanted to have this wonderful experience, and all I was doing was focusing on the fact that our flights got canceled, we had to pay extra for the test, we had to do this, and we had to do this, and we had to jump through all these hoops, and I'm getting tired of jumping through all these hoops. Good grief, what in the world did I miss? The peace that comes from knowing that God was doing something. I missed it. Can I be honest with that? Okay. You all think I'm going to tell this real fancy story, but I'm going to be honest with you today. I missed it. For 2 days, I missed it. Go ahead to the next slide. By the way, that's a statue in the exact place where Peter was standing by the fire. Now, what you don't see, and Patty got a picture of that, see that pillar that goes up? On top of it is a rooster. So, you have a little different experience here. Because this is actually just outside Caiaphas' house. Caiaphas' palace. Which is a whole thing in itself anyway. But so you understand what's happening here. Here's Peter who says, I will not deny you, denies him three times. He goes out and he weeps bitterly. So, everybody see what's happening here? Okay, let's advance forward to the scripture that was read this morning. After Jesus rose from the dead, he was at the Sea of Galilee. He walks up on the shore. The disciples, and this is a long story short, the disciples go out, and as they go out, they have decided, Peter says, "I don't know about you boys, but I'm going fishing." Now, what he means there is not, "Let's go catch some fish." He's saying, "I want to go back to what I know I can trust. I want to go back to catching fish." Okay? So they go out there. Jesus walks up. The raised Jesus walks up to the Sea of Galilee. I'll show you some pictures in a minute where it was. He walked up to there and he looked out and he says, "Hey, guys catching anything? Are you seeing something that's happening here? We call it deja vu. Are you catching any fish? No, we've been out here all night. Well, throw all the nets on that side. And when they get the fish, the nets full of fish, they pull it up. I love that. I love this phrase. Let me see if I can find it here. Is it in here? It may not be in. I may have not put it up on here. But anyway, John looks at Peter and says, "It's the Lord." So Peter jumps off the boat and he swims and he swims to shore, and Jesus is there, and guess what he has? He already has some fish, and guess what they're roasting on? A charcoal fire. The smell, the seeing the fire, everything. Do you think maybe, go ahead to the next one. Do you think maybe that, and this is Brian, the pastor that led us. Do you think maybe Peter might have drawn some similarities? And then, go ahead to the next one. And then Jesus says, now, the reason I asked that version, word Cindy, is because that's the first version I've read that actually translates the Greek words accurately. And I want to look at a couple other places to see, because I may have found a new version. Okay? Just checking. But, do you see what's happening here? Peter has denied Jesus three times. Right? He stands at a charcoal fire, just like where he denied Jesus three times. He stands at a charcoal fire. Go ahead to the next one, Kim. Is the next one a picture? Okay, go to it. He goes, this is the Sea of Galilee still. Peter comes on, he's standing by the charcoal fire. He's denied him three times by a charcoal fire. The thing that happened in the boat was the same thing that happened when he called him and said, "I want you to go and be fishers of men." When he's thinking, "I'm going back to the fishing business." Y'all see how this is working out. And Jesus stands there, and he stands by the fire, and he asks him, he says, and there's a difference in the Greek words, but that's not my point today. He says, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter says, "Yes, I know I love you. Yes, I love you." And he says, "Well, feed my sheep." One. Are you following what's happening here? Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter says, "Lord, you know I love you." He said, "Tend to my sheep." Two. Third time, Jesus said, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter wept because he had asked the third time. Now, he asks it differently, but that's in the Greek. We don't know that, but he asked him three times. In other words, you remember, Kim, I'm sorry, go back one. You remember my favorite theological word is recapitulation? That's my favorite theological word, because what it means that the same situation happens, but this time there's a different outcome. Adam and Eve were in the garden, and they turned their back on God and did things their way. Jesus in the garden recapitulated that scene, but he said, "Not my will, but yours be done." Eve was in the garden. Mary said, "Yes, be it unto me as you have said." That's recapitulation. So the thing that happened here that ended with Peter denying Jesus, now he gets to walk through it again and gets another chance. And here's what Jesus says. Now this isn't in the passage, but this is what he means. "Peter, I know you denied me, but I forgive you. And the mission that I gave you back the last time this happened still is true. I want you to go. I want you to tend my sheep. I want you to feed my lambs. I want you to take care of the church that's going to come because of the message of this good news." He said, "Peter, I know you denied me. I know you blew it, but I forgive you. Now, let's fix this and let's start doing what we came to do, Peter." That's powerful to me, because that means we have a Jesus who knows we blow it, but gives us other chances, and then helps us through that. Amen? Okay, go to the next one. This is Magdala. Magdala, this is my God moment. This picture was taken. We had gone through the ruins of a synagogue, and we were hearing all about it. We were getting on the bus to go back. And actually, I think, were we going to be baptized? I think we were leaving Magdala to go to the Jordan River. Anyway, I walk out there.